What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
I always say fuck on this show. It's my fucking show. Jillian's not going to be here this week. She just got back from Wizard World Chicago, and she is absolutely beat. So I unfortunately have Alex Jowski here as my sounding board, for lack of a better word, because I doubt he can stand up to me.
Unfortunately.
Absolutely. Now, for this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Holy fucking shit. Now, I guarantee, Alex, you and I both being white guys, we are going to come across as racist just for bringing up this story. Black people have been criticizing Olympic gold medalist Gabby Douglas because she has, quote, nappy hair. So what's the big deal about Gabby's hair? From what I'm reading on Facebook and Twitter, many African-American women who are sitting and watching Gabby compete believe her hair is not kept. She needs some gel and a brush. Someone needs to give her a hair intervention. She has to represent. Now, right there, I am offended as shit at this. Because she's black, she has to represent the entire black race? Is that what I'm fucking reading here, Alex?
Yeah. But, you know, actually looking at the pictures, her hair's fine.
And then the fact that, now, if it had been a white person that said, oh, she's nappy-headed like Don Imus did, you know, with them nappy-headed hoes, all right, then there's controversy. But it's black people that are bitching about a successful black woman because she's got nappy hair. This is fucking ridiculous. This is the kind of racism that you see. And nobody calls it out as racism anymore because, oh, it's a black person complaining about a black person. Yeah, no, that makes it not racism?
It makes it not racism, but it's still really cruel.
I can't believe she wins an Olympic gold medal and you fat asses that are giving her shit are the fucking eating Frosted Flakes right out of the box with your fat fucking hands, welfare motherfuckers, and you're saying she doesn't represent because she has, quote, your word, nappy hair? I just want, you know what, I'm going to play the sounder again.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Because it applies. I mean, this made me mad, Alex.
Well, as one person says in the comment thread on here, have we forgotten this is... that she was competing at the Olympics. This is not America's Next Top Model.
And that also brings up, so everyone has to be attractive now?
Yeah, and when you play a sport, you sweat. So, yeah, your hair is going to get kind of messed up.
I'm offended for her. Let's put it that way. And I'm saying, you know how you always hear the term self-loathing? Like Richard Belzer always joking about how he's a self-loathing Jew and stuff. I think these are self-loathing black people. These are black people who are ashamed of being black.
Beyond race, though, they may just be ashamed of their own lifestyle. And, hey, there's this black woman that's successful, so I'm jealous, so I'm going to make fun of her. It's the whole thing that if you're putting down somebody else makes you feel more superior. You know, it's probably the logic of, well, yeah, she may have won a gold medal because she's a great sports person, but I have better hair.
So our next thing is going to be... It's not race, but it's still kind of a weird... I'm lumping this in here because it involves prejudice. Forbes did a huge study and found people who don't have Facebook, who don't have iPhones, who don't have iPads, are considered, quote, suspicious to the majority of America. Now, I don't seem to understand this. As I've been called a Luddite by Lost in the Static co-host Scott Murray all the time, you sometimes joke with me, Brad's always giving me shit on Radiodrome about not adapting to the newest technologies and being a Laserdisc fan and that. What is the prejudice all you people see if somebody doesn't immediately jump out and embrace the new technology? They're suspicious.
Yeah, that's weird that it's, you know, suspicious over Facebook, too. I rely on Facebook and social media and my iPhone, but...
The writer of the article, Kashmir Hill, admits her own prejudice in this before she researched this. She used to say that, quote, if you're not on Facebook, it's possible you don't actually exist. That's a little creepy. I know people, and I'm not talking about like my grandmother or little kids. I know real people that don't have any interest in being on Facebook. It's not their thing. So does that make them less real than someone who is on Facebook 20 hours a day?
It doesn't. In fact, there's people that don't use Facebook, and I'm glad they don't use Facebook, because not to say that, you know, they're bad for not embracing the technology. It's just some people that I don't want finding me on Facebook. I'm like, well, I'm lucky they don't have Facebook. One of the points it brings up in this article is that a German news story in which an expert noted that mass murderers Andreas Breivik, the Norwegian shooter, and James Holmes both didn't have a Facebook.
That's not really a connection, because I'm going to go out on a limb and say John Wilkes Booth didn't have Facebook either.
The German news story that was flagged here is not having a Facebook account could be the first sign that you are a mass murderer.
Okay, they even write this in the article. That's a tad extreme, but I'm seeing the suggestion more and more that a missing Facebook account, this is the part that pisses me off, raises red flags.
It shouldn't raise red flags. In fact, employers shouldn't care what you do outside of work. Whether you have a Facebook or not, employers, it's none of their business.
That's the other thing. Facebook is being used in legal proceedings. When you sign a contract with a company and you maybe say something or even allude to something on your Facebook posts can be subpoenaed and used in court against you. What happened to just, hey, I'm sounding off on the internet, or I'm drunk Facebooking one night?
As I say, that's also why I use Alex Drowski as a pseudonym. My real name's Matthew, and there's a separate Facebook for that that I rarely touch, because employer wants my Facebook. Oh, they can look at that one that I never touch all the time.
This even goes farther to just literally employment. A lot of job seekers now, I don't know if those of you out there have applied for a job lately, but you'll notice at larger companies, you know how they always ask for your email address? Fair enough. You know, they can get a hold of you via email. Fair enough. Now they ask for your Facebook account. If you don't have it, it says that sends up, again, red flags to employers that something might be up with you if you don't have a Facebook page.
Are they hiding something?
That's the exact same. That's the exact thing. What are they hiding that they don't want me to see? And it's like, this is ridiculous. This angers me on such an intense level. I don't have an iPad. I barely have an iPod. The only reason I even have an iPod, Scott Murray broke his and gave me his, and I was able to fix it. I've never paid for an iPod. The only reason I have it is it was basically a hand-me-down. Am I somehow suspicious because I don't embrace these technologies? Am I suspicious because I have VHSs, DVDs, and Laserdiscs, and I only own about 12 Blu-rays total? Does that make me suspicious?
I don't have an iPad, but that's only because I don't want to pay the $500 for something that does the exact same thing my home computer does.
These things should not make you suspicious. That not only do employers now look at your Facebook to see whether you're going to be a good employee, whether you get drunk and party or whatever it is, and then you can have your Facebook used against you in court, you're seeing something more and more nowadays. And this is something that this would have been considered science fiction in the 90s. Now it's fact that people are addicted to their electronic devices. They did a study, I think it was Slashdot, I might be wrong because I read about this about a month and a half ago, that did a study and found that when teenagers who've grown up with these electronics all their entire life, when they had to go 1 week without using Facebook or without touching their iPod or without checking their email, they had significant psychological reactions to this. Basically, they started on the path of a nervous breakdown being separated from their technology. That's a disturbing trend to me, Alex. Disturbing. And it should be to you, too.
That is disturbing. I mean, it also depends on how long you're separated from the technology. Like, I can go 8 hours at work and not use Facebook or anything.
But you're in your 30s. The reason I prefaced that they did this with people who've always grown up with this stuff is it's easier for us that remembered a time when you didn't have email. When you couldn't instantaneously download a movie. we knew what it was like even to then. Wait. But it's these kids that are spoiled. They've had email their entire life it's existed. It's almost like it getting an email releases endorphins in your brain.
It does, yes. Even if it's spam, it's just that notification that pops up. You've got a new email. Oh, boy, I wonder what it is.
Right. And that, to me, I think, is saying something about our evolution as human beings. I think we're evolving in the wrong direction to the point where we can't live without our technology anymore. On a really early What the Fuck episode, way back when Ed Glaser was still on the show, it was about the newspaper time machine, where a college decided to put out that month's school's newspaper completely like they did it in 1986. No computers. You have to measure everything. Typewriters. You have to get the ink right. You have to know all the settings. And a lot of the professors who were there then and were tenured professors then said the hardest thing for them was to go back because even they couldn't remember what it was like. They didn't remember how to do half this stuff. It's like once the technology comes along, it makes it so easy you forget how to be self-reliant.
Yeah, it does. I've become overly reliant on my technology that it's difficult for me to imagine what it'd be like without it, though I can go without it, I'm sure.
And I do get the absolute irony of us bitching about this on the internet. I do get that. Every time I go on a technology rant, I get the irony of the fact that I'm on a technology rant on a huge piece of technology.
Yeah, we are reliant on it, but it's a point of we need to still keep the context of what life is like without that technology, because nothing will last forever. Your phone's going to die. My phone's dead. I've had to go all week with no phone until I get a new one on Wednesday. I'm coping.
It's not suspicious if you don't have a Facebook account. Yeah, maybe you're a little bit behind what we would call the times. I eventually adapted and I got a Facebook account. I still refuse to be on Twitter. No one's ever going to get me on Twitter. I don't see the point in it and I'm not going to do it. And Brad Westmar makes fun of me all the time for not having a Twitter account. I mean, the reason I started Facebook, because I was very anti-Facebook, the reason I started that was there were people who I could only get a hold of on Facebook. There are people like Jillian, and I'm not bashing her, obviously. There are people like Jillian that they never answer their email. They rarely check their email. She checks her Facebook all the time. So if I need to get a hold of Jillian, I send her a Facebook message, plain and simple.
I tell people to contact me on Facebook or email or text message, you know. I never answer my phone, really, when it rings. I use my phone mostly as a way to connect with social media when I'm away from home.
And see, my phone, I can't. I've got an old U.S. Cellular LG flip phone. I can make and receive phone calls. I can receive texts. I don't have a texting plan, so I can't even text back because it costs me 25 cents a text. So I can't even text you back if you text me. And that's about it. I can take really low-res photos, and it's got a little calculator. That's all my phone can do. I use my phone as, what a dumbass, a fucking phone.
Yeah, I rarely use mine as a phone.
Alex and I will be back with something that's going to make me fly off the fucking handle, and he's probably going to have to calm me down.
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another, but today I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner. So we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks. I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right. It's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's thesafecig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
It's time for another heart attack. Hart, what's going on right now?
I'm a pretty happy guy. For the fourth straight month in a row, we have had our subscribers grow. And I'm not talking like five or six, you know. We are actually having really serious, heavy-duty growth in our viewership on American Horrors. And the Film On guys are doing a better and better job all the time. And we're in negotiations right now on the contracts for the American Horrors live show. So I'm feeling pretty damn good about that, Josh.
People don't tune in to hear you feel good. They want to hear you steamed. What's going on?
All right. Well, I'm steamed, okay? And you guys probably know I'm still steamed about the medical marijuana thing happening in Los Angeles. Now, look, guys, I grew up and I was never a druggy guy. I wasn't a drinky guy until after my girlfriend was murdered. When my girlfriend was murdered, yeah, I drank myself to bed every night for years. I've had some experience with alcohol abuse, friends that have had drug problems, prescription pill addictions, heroin addictions. When I was younger, I wasn't a weed guy because pretty much most people I knew that smoked weed were kind of stupid, straight up. You know, they weren't organized. Some of them flunked out of college, and so I didn't have a good view of it. But in light of its medical uses and what it's used medically for, forget about all the crap about worrying that Junior might get a joint. I mean, seriously, if Junior gets a joint, guys, it's a lot better for him than if Junior gets a bottle of vodka. And number one, that's just the fucking fact of the matter. All this crap I grew up with that marijuana is the gateway drug. You're wrong. Alcohol is the gateway drug. My old training partner in the martial arts, he was a smoker, and he smoked a lot of cigarettes. And the only time he smoked is when he drank. The gateway drug to smoking for him was alcohol. He always drank and smoked. I mean, for years and years. He didn't smoke during the day, but if he went drinking, man, he smoked like a bastard. And I mentioned this friend of mine, Paul, who'd been in a car accident on the last show. Now, Paul had been in a car accident, and Paul, his back had gotten jacked up, and Paul was a person who in his youth had been a heroin junkie. I've got three different friends that were junkies, and they all told me that quitting cigarettes was a major nightmare for them compared to quitting heroin. He also told me that quitting Vicodin nearly killed him. In fact, Vicodin has serious, serious side effects for what happens if you're taking this on a regular basis, like my father did for his arthritis pain, because he had crippling rheumatoid arthritis. If you take this for pain on a regular basis every day, one, it burns out your liver. They just know it burns out your liver. Two, it bleeds you out through your guts. It rots your guts out. Now, they're knowingly selling these drugs, these drug companies we have in the state of California. You know, we voted. We, the people, voted so that we could have medical marijuana clinics for people that needed it for medical reasons.
Legitimate medical reasons.
And then, yeah, and, you know, okay, there's people that abuse this. Oh, fucking duh. It's America, motherfuckers. We have a major problem with abuse of everything. We're in a country where you can be addicted to sex. There's TV specials about a pornography addiction. Are you fucking kidding me? Hey, honey, if your hubbies won't get off the fucking porn, maybe you should suck his dick a little bit more. But that's a whole other side issue. Getting back to this medical marijuana thing, we had this vote. We the people voted so that this state could have it. There's 13 other states in the union that have voted to make marijuana directly available to patients. And what medical marijuana does is, one, it's amazing for pain relief, guys. Pain relief is number one. My father died from his pain medications, slowly and not so good, guys. But if my dad could have lit up a joint, if my old man could have been smoking bong hits in Chicago instead of these pills, number one, it would have helped his inflammation with the arthritis. Number two, it would have helped deal with his pain instead of the pills which rotted his stomach. Because when you smoke marijuana, it doesn't rot your stomach. It doesn't do those things. In fact, there's a thing in marijuana that acts as an anti-anxiety medication. It's got a chemical key in it that mimics the exact natural functions in the brain that are for stress relief and anxiety relief. What's the number one killer of people in the workplace? It's stress. if you could come home and you could light up a bowl from a plant that you could grow in your backyard. You don't need any special chemicals. You don't need anything other than water, fucking dirt, and sunlight, and you could have pain relief. This is why we don't have it. This is why it's not legal, because it's about the money, folks. It's about the money, and I'm really angry here. I'm really, really angry because the L.A. City Council, every single person on the L.A. City Council, the largest city in California, has voted to ban all dispensaries in the city. In the meantime, they're okaying schools to be built on live methane fields. In the meantime, they're enacting eminent domain laws that would throw away every single neighborhood program for managing their neighborhoods and managing the growth of their neighborhood. They are trying to railroad all of us. I mean, this is part of the big picture. The big picture is the government's out of control. It's really out of control. And a lot of people have hijacked it, and they're using it for their own ends. And you know, guys, drug dealers want marijuana to be illegal. There's a drug war in Mexico right now, and it's financed with the money that we pay them for these illegal drugs. And then we turn around and we sell them guns. We sell them guns at a huge profit, illegally. And these guns are used to kill Mexican citizens, and they're used to kill Mexican police officers, and American law enforcement officers are being murdered, and American citizens are being murdered with these guns too. You know, people are disappearing. They're coming over the border and doing crazy shit. So this all kind of marches hand in hand, because there were some council members from a different city in Southern California that were using the threat of getting rid of the clinics to shake them down for cash payouts.
Well, see,
and then the FBI busted them.
Hart, what I think part of the problem is, and I'm not saying you're wrong, because you're absolutely right that it is the companies, the drug companies and whatnot themselves, but there's also the public perception. They need to sway the public perception onto their side. And unfortunately, most of the biggest medical marijuana advocates are that stoner guy who just claims he's got something wrong with his back, man. They don't have
the
right
spokespeople.
Even if
he does just have something wrong with it, even if he does get it, because let's face it, prescription drug abuse is killing more Americans than car accidents. More people die from their legal prescription drugs than car accidents. More people die from their legal prescription drugs than cocaine or heroin. So you tell me, why is marijuana illegal again? Who's being hurt here?
The people that are
making money from the drug companies, the people that create Lipitor, the people that create these drug commercials that you see on the TV set, they've spent a lot of money on the elections, rigging these elections, so that they're going to pass legislature. Did you guys know that there's a cap on death when you sue for medical malfeasance? And let's say they killed your dad, and now there's a cap on how much money you can get for your pop. In fact, you're going to make more money if your dad was a vegetable for a while and suffered for a while. I have a martial arts instructor friend named Jerry. Jerry was killed at a local hospital in California here. He was bled out. They pricked an internal vein in him and bled him out over a week. There's a cap on his death. The lawyers actually told his wife, you'd make more money. Well, it's not about the money. It's about, hey, we got to do something to protect ourselves from this medical industry that's gone rampant. They don't care about this. We have the most expensive health care in the world. We have the most expensive health care in the world, yet we have some of the highest infant mortality rates. We have the fattest fucks in the world live in America.
Whenever you hear about a new medical discovery or a new surgical procedure, how often is it from America? No, it's always the Swedes came up with this, or the British came up with this, or the French came up with this. Do you tend to notice a trend here?
You know, one of the things about medical marijuana that people should know, you juice the leaves of the marijuana plant, it's a lot of good nutrients in it for you. In fact, for us, it grows with next to nothing. Hemp, its cousin, it takes about 10 years to grow trees to make paper. Hemp, 100 days. Think about that, guys. Think about that. And why are these things illegal? Because not enough of us vote. We need to take an interest in our governance. I come back to this again and again and again, and I'm going to keep coming back to it, guys. There's a major election going on. We need to vote people out. I say get new guys in. Vote all the old guys out. Get all these old guys out. Get them the fuck out. Get them all out. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a teabagger. I don't care who the fuck you are. You're out. You're out. You've been voting wrong, man. A lot of these guys in there are voting for shit, and they're not voting for us. They're not fighting for we, the people. and they're passing some very, very scary laws. When Josh and I come back next week, we're going to talk about some really scary stuff that's going down over the right to assemble in the public. And but it comes back down to this simple fact. The state of California, we the people voted so that we, including cancer patients, my wife's a cancer survivor. My wife had glaucoma. She was borderline glaucoma for a while. You know, these are all things that can be treated with marijuana. Now, luckily, my wife doesn't need these things. Her glaucoma kind of got better, and, you know, she's recovered from the cancer, and she didn't need this for her appetite. Cancer stripped my wife to the bone. And let me tell you something, motherfuckers. If I needed to get my wife some fucking weed during her recovery from cancer, I don't care where the fuck I live in this country, because I needed to keep my wife alive. I love my wife. I love my fucking wife. She went through the cancer battle. I lost my stepmother. I lost her to lung cancer and breast cancer. And, you know, this is a big problem for us as Americans. And something like marijuana that's going to relieve stress and anxiety, which is one of the leading causes of cancer. Oh, heaven help you. You don't, medical marijuana industry. How could you try to help people with their cancer with something that could grow in your back fucking yard?
Because there's not a way for them to make a profit off of it, which is something else we'll talk about next week a little bit too.
I mean, you know what I love? I love these assholes who are sitting there swilling their bourbon, talking about we can't let people smoke weed. Dude, your alcohol is far more destructive and evil than marijuana is. It's hilarious how nasty alcohol is. It's hilarious how nasty smoking tobacco cigarettes is. It's all about the money, though, isn't it?
Yep, that's what
we
got to
change that, guys. We got to change that. We changed that. We marched and we got women the right to vote. We marched and we got unions. We marched and we made the FDA happen. These things didn't exist 150 years ago. You get what I'm saying? We, the people, are the engines that drive change every single time. Did the civil rights movement start in the government or did it start with we, the people? It started with we, the people.
Do you like metal? Of course you do. We all do. So why not head over to what Clawhammer PR calls the online mecca of the underground extreme, Apox Metal Review. In-depth reviews, interviews, personal viewpoints, free and legal album streams, and more. Covering all of the undiscovered underground, visit apox.net. That's www.apochs.net today. All right, so last week, Jillian and I talked about ridiculous laws that, quote, protect Christians from being able to read Bibles or practice their religion in public. And guess what? Missouri. Well, guess what? Missouri did it again, Alex. They passed the Right to Pray Amendment. That's the one we talked about last week. Now there's another amendment. Again, only for Christians. If you're Jewish, go fuck yourself. If you're Muslim, go fuck yourself. You're a Wiccan, you're a Satanist, you're a Sikh, go fuck yourself. What this says is that now in schools and in colleges, and we're talking public institutions, okay? We're not talking about a Christian school, because a Christian school can make Christian doctrine for their students.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. This is
public
in
schools.
This is in public schools. Any student is allowed to, and I quote, reject school assignments that violate his or her religious beliefs. Now, what that means is, I think what they meant, I really don't think they mean this as bad as it's going to be abused. I think what they mean is that a teacher would not be able to force an evangelical student to learn about evolution.
Yeah, it's obviously the evolution debate,
you know, or something like that. Or if they are taught that God makes the tides rise and fall and not the phases of the moon, then they wouldn't have to learn that part of science. It's stupid, but fair enough. Well, now this says anything. The student doesn't want to do algebra that day. They can decide, I don't want to turn this in this assignment. Math is against my religion. And because we're talking about religion here, Alex, you can't basically call them on it. Because religion, they're giving it this whole broad, your beliefs are just that, they're yours. They might not be everyone else's. So because your church might not say algebra is evil, you might personally truly believe algebra is evil.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do? Get a excuse note from your pastor?
And they can't give you a zero on it. And this is just ridiculous. Because first of all, Christians. This is a Christian-dominated nation.
Yeah.
How the fuck are Christians put out? Why do these states keep passing Christian amendments? Okay? Now, I actually don't think I'd be as mad if this were a religious amendment that a Muslim student would not have to learn something that's against their religion, or a Sikh student wouldn't have to learn something that's against their religion.
Whatever your religion is, you can opt out of this. Specifically, it's favoring Christians, but...
No, this isn't favoring Christians. The law is only for Christians. So this is not favoring. This is saying all other religions do not get this protection. Republican State Representative Mike McGee is the fuckhead that introduced this. And I'm going to say to any of you that are in Missouri, shame on you. Even if you didn't vote for this, then you didn't, enough of you didn't vote against it. Shame on you. You people are what's wrong with this system. This is sickening to me.
That it says research from two Pennsylvania State University professors revealed that the majority of public school biology teachers in the U.S. shy away from teaching evolution because they don't want the controversy. And as a result, a federal test, less than half of the U.S. 4th, 8th, and 12th grade students are considered proficient in science. That Christianity is holding our nation back from success in education.
It even goes back to something Scott Murray and I talked about on a Lost in the Static once. Major colleges will no longer accept diplomas from schools that refuse to teach evolution. Basically, they say if you have a high school diploma from a high school that refused to teach evolution, then you do not have a high school diploma as far as the college is concerned.
You didn't learn...
Didn't learn anything. You didn't learn what you need to know to be in college. What it's coming down to is just like you said, fighting for the rights of Christians, which aren't being stomped on in the first fucking place, is dumbing down the entire country. You see all these other countries that are surrounding us that are excelling at science and math and technology. What are we doing? We are sitting here worshiping God.
Rewriting science to suit our own beliefs instead of actually becoming a part of the global community. We've moved on, but we're like, nah, we're just going to pretend that this didn't happen and live in our dark ages.
And see, that's the funny fucking part. You always hear people like Michael Savage and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and fucking Sean Hannity and all these fucking brainless morons. They always talk about, whenever they're bitching about the Muslims and Sharia law and all this shit, they always talk about how these are 17th century throwbacks that refuse to adapt to the times. Really? You're a fucking hardcore Christian who fights for this kind of bullshit, and you're gonna have the balls to bitch about a goddamn Muslim who refuses to adapt to the times? These people live in this fucking idealized 1950s. You always hear people like Michael Savage talking about, I want to put America back on track. I want to go back to the values we had in the 50s. Yeah, great fucking values, unless, you know, you happen to be gay, Indian, a woman, black, Latino, you didn't own property, you weren't completely affluent, you weren't Christian. Yeah, then the 1950s were fucking great, weren't they?
Let's go back to the Jim Crow laws.
Yeah, okay, separate but equal. How about that? Would that make you happy? Now you guys see why I said Alex is going to have to hold me back and he's doing a shit job of it?
Well, because I absolutely agree with you. There should be a finer definition between the separation between church and state, that there is no place for religion in politics, that we shouldn't oblige any religion when it comes to lawmaking. You know, Christians feel that they're oppressed. Don't take it up with lawmakers.
Historically, Christians are not the oppressed. They're the oppressors.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this law is doing. It's oppressive.
Because, see,
you know, it's like, well, if you want these special privileges at school, you should become a Christian. See, if you want to get out of homework by saying against your religion, well, then change religions.
It's the same kind of bullshit, and I can't remember. It was probably fucking Missouri now that I think about it. But Jillian and I talked about one a couple of months ago where they made it illegal to be able to prosecute someone who beat up a gay person because it was against their religion. Basically, if you truly believed that being gay was evil, you could do whatever you wanted to a gay person because you were following the tenets of your religion.
I think that was Missouri or Texas. It was a bullying thing.
And do you know what that sounds like to me? Funny how much that sounds like Sharia law, doesn't it? This thing everyone wants stopped. It sounds like a Christian version of Sharia law. That's against my religion. Kill it! Because, Alex, I did some research, and I know I used this joke last week, but I did some research. There were these things in the past called the Crusades, where Christians basically killed anybody that wasn't Christian. It was really bloody. A whole lot of people got killed. It was a total bummer, man. It was this minor little footnote in history, that's all.
Oh, don't forget the Children Crusade, where they sent off a bowl of the kids because the adults didn't even want to go. They sent kids to be slaughtered in the Holy Land.
So, I mean, this to me, and yes, I realize if Jillian was here, we'd be having a different kind of debate because she always cock blocks me when I yell like this. I'm just so mad at this, Alex. I'm so pissed.
As am I, you know, because there should be no place for religion in lawmaking.
And I want to
get mad about something like this.
And I want to say, neither Alex nor I are talking about doing anything to stop the Christian religion. We're talking about all religions should not have a place in the public forum. If you want to worship, you are free to do so. You do it. If you want your kid to pray, you want your kid to have some prayer in their life because you think it does them good, fine. Then get up 10 fucking minutes earlier and pray with your kid before he goes to school. Okay? Make sure you stay up 10 minutes later to pray with your kid before you go to bed. It's not my responsibility that you didn't have time to pray with your kid. It's not my kid should not have to fucking sit through this shit in school because you couldn't get up earlier and sacrifice a fucking Pop-Tart because you needed to get on the road. I'm sick of making paths for all this religious bullshit. If you want to do it, religion is something that should be done in the home. People always say I'm anti-religious. Really, I'm not. I'm anti-religious in the public forum. If you want to worship in your own house, you want to raise your child how you see fit, that's fine. My problem is when you start telling me how you're going to raise my child. That's where I draw a fucking line.
Somebody's offended by what the public schools teach children? You can take your kid out of a public school. You can either cough up the money to send them to a religious institution, or you could homeschool them. And there's actually, homeschooling has terrific programs that's funded by the state. You don't have to pay money to homeschool children.
Thank you for bringing that up. This also brings up another aspect. Obviously, I'm not a huge proponent of college. I've made that abundantly clear on these shows. I think college is kind of a waste of time. But depending on what the vocation you choose to go into, you may need that piece of paper at the end of the road. Fair enough.
Yeah, well, the piece of paper is only to prove that you have the education, not that you learned anything in college. I mean, you can go to the library and get the same education.
Right. So here's my issue. Okay, there's all the homeschooling. And I'm not talking about regular homeschooling. I'm talking about the religious homeschooling because we don't want the American public schools to be brainwashing our child. That's a parent's job. No, what I'm talking about is going back to college institutions. Some of the bigger college institutions won't accept a homeschool diploma anymore. You people have to realize you can do what you want to you can warp your child any way you want. That child is going to be the one paying for your mistakes. And I realize we probably don't have a big religious listenership on this show. Yeah, that's probably my fault. I get that. On the other hand, Anyone who does listen to this show, I'm sure, has a religious relative, or they know somebody who's been fucked up by this stuff, who's been fucked up by this brainwashing. It's no different than if you raised your kid in a Black Panther or a white supremacist household. You're going to fuck your kid up like that. And that's what these laws do is that not only do they not call attention to the fact that you're fucking your kid up like this, they're giving you a free pass for doing it. This Representative Mike McGee needs to be voted out of office. Those of you in Missouri need to get rid of this piece of shit. You might not know this. There's an election coming up in like 2.5 months. And you're going to be able to get rid of this fucker. I want to see that happen. And I don't care if you are religious. Even if you're Christian. If you're Christian, you shouldn't be going, I'm better. My religion's better than your religion. You should be as offended as I am. And what sickens me is the fact that I'm more offended than you are.
I agree with you, Josh. People should be mad about this, and they do need to vote that guy out of office.
And this just, it makes me sick.
What really makes me sick is that this bill, it passed with 83% of the vote.
Right. And I knew Missouri was a hick state. I didn't know it was a hick state.
I mean, 83% of the people said, yeah, this is what our state needs.
My biggest problem with this, as I've already stated, is the fact that it targets Christians.
Yeah,
it only exempts Christians. If it were a complete religious bill, I'd still have issues with it, obviously. Anyone that knows me knows I would. But I would not be as venomous as I am here tonight. That venom is coming from the fact that this says Christians are better than any other religion. And I'm sick of it. And these are the same people that you remember back in the 80s. Oh, gay people want special rights. No, they don't. They want the same rights as everybody else. They just don't want to be defamed. They don't want to be discriminated against. Oh, Black people want special rights. No. In the 60s, this should not have been the civil rights movement. It should have been the equal rights movement.
Yeah, because there's a difference between special rights and, you know, basic human freedoms.
Christians, if you don't like your homework, you still have to do it. I'm an atheist, obviously. When I was in school, there were numerous things that I did not believe in that I had to deal with. Goofy philosophy and shit like that. Did that mean I got to say, I don't believe in that. I'm not doing it, and you can't give me an F. Eat that, teacher.
And the whole point of school is to prepare you for adulthood. You go out and get a job, and if you say, well, I can't do this work because this is against my religion, they'll tell you to get the fuck out and hire somebody else.
What it really comes down to, based on what Alex just said, because he's right, what it really comes down to is,
you're not
the real world is going to eat you alive. The real world's not going to make exemptions for your fragile little eggshell skull. The real world is going to fucking dry rape you.
Homework is a vital part of school because it prepares you to do shit that you don't like, because you're going to be doing shit you don't like for the next 60 years.
Well, then there's also the other aspect, which we only hinted at before. Do you realize just how rife this is for abuse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's against my religion to do algebra.
Basically, all a kid has to do now, say they get into eighth grade, they decide, even if they don't truly believe it, I'm going to come across as a Christian. Then that way, I can say all this schoolwork. Science? I don't believe in science. I don't have to do any of my science homework. This is going to be so ridiculously abused that I can see the entire Missouri school system shutting down at some point over this.
Or kids just getting high school diplomas that haven't learned a damn thing, going out into the real world and failing miserably.
That's actually happened before. In the 80s, there was a case, and it was later made into the movie Teachers in 1984, where a kid just slipped through the cracks so much that he scammed his teachers or copied other people's homework. He got a diploma with a B average, and he couldn't read or write. And then he had the balls to sue the school over it. It was their fault. They didn't prepare him for the real world. And I think that, to me, is a cautionary tale. That shows you that you can have your religion, but your religion and your education, not religious education, just your education and your religion, are two separate things, and they need to be kept separate, or this is all going to fall apart really goddamn fast. To summarize, I'm pissed. Alex is pissed.
I'm pissed, yes.
Jillian will be back next week. Alex, where can people find you, even though no one wants to?
Well, if there is somebody that wants to, www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Do you want to tell them your real name, or are you going to still hide behind the pseudonym?
Well, I said my name was Matthew. I'll leave it at that for now.
Tell them your real name.
Matthew Coates.
All right, then. And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. My email is 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I'm saying Jillian will be back next week, so you shouldn't have to put up with Alex again. Good night.
Hey!
Boy was in the hallway drinking a glass of tea. From the other end of the hallway, a rhythm was generating. Another boy was sliding up the hallway. His gold nerves merged perfectly. He merged perfectly with the hallway. He merged perfectly with the mirror. In the hallway, the boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run, but the movie kept moving as planned. The boy took Johnny, he pressed him against a locker. He drove it in, he drove it home, he drove it deep in Johnny. The boy disappeared. Johnny fell on his knees, started crashing his head against a locker. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started laughing hysterically when suddenly Johnny gets a feeling he's been surrounded by horses, 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 horses coming in all directions, white, shining, silver, studs with their nose in flames. He saw horses, 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 horses singing a Honda Pony like Boney Marone. Do you know how to twist? black and shining with yellow hair. I put my fingers through her silken hair and found a stair. And I didn't waste time, I just walked right up and saw that up there, there is a sea up there. There's a sea up there. There's a sea, sees the possibility. There's no land but the land. There's no sea but the sea. There's no keeper of the key. There's a wall of possibilities. Possibilities, one who seizes possibilities. There are several walls. Possibilities up there. First possibility is the sea around me. I'm standing there with my legs spread like a sailboat. I felt his hand on my knee on the screen, and I looked at Johnny and handed him like a branch of coral flame in the heart of man. The waves were coming in like Arabian stallions gradually lapping into seahorses. He picked up the blade and he pressed it against his smooth throat, spewing, and let it dip in the veins, dip in to the sea of possibilities. Dip in,
it started hardening to the sea, in my hand,
to the sea,
and I felt the arrows of possibilities.
I put my hand inside his cranium. Oh, we had such a brainiac. No more, but no more, no more. I gotta move from my mind to the air. Go, 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 gotta go and do the what you see. Yeah, do the what you see. You throw a tooth shot open, coiled snakes, white and shining, twirling. Too warm, too unbelievably smooth, like playing in the sea.
Disintegrated, nothing happened.
Go inside the black tube.
Said when he looked out into
nothing
deep,
like
saw a sweet young thing.
Fender one,
humping on the pocket meat, leaning on the pocket meat,
in the sheets,
simple.